The litigation in front of the Constitutional Court has somewhat muddied the waters on something many legal experts would have said is very simple and easy to understand. Can a president who has served two terms return to office? On a cursory reading of the Constitution, it would appear the answer is a simple and straightforward no. But Professor Umphemetse Sibanda, who is a professor of law and executive dean of the Faculty of Management and Law at the University of Limpopo, says not so fast. On the other hand, Professor Pierre de Force, who is, of course, the Leon Foundation Chair in Constitutional Governance at the University of Cape Town, says, hang on, what do you mean? Let's hear both sides of that debate. I'll start with Professor Sibanda. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Section 88.2 of the South African Constitution, you argue, does not in fact perpetually disqualify a person who has served two terms as president from running for the presidency again, you say.
Good morning, Bongani, yes, that's my view, because when I look into, you know, the actual provisions, is they are couched in permissive terms, because we are talking about may rather than stating shall or must. And then for that matter, you know, when you talk about the phrase two terms, typically refers to a limitation on a number of times an individual can hold office or position consecutively, and it does not really talk about cumulative, unless if it was phrased to mean two occasions, then one may try to interpret and understand it differently, meaning that the provision itself really is so ambiguous, so to say.
Is it ambiguous? Because I would have thought certainly the purpose of the text is clear. If a president has finished his first term, as did Mr. Zuma, and in fact resigned voluntarily from that post, and of course that term was finished by Cyril Ramaphosa on his behalf, it's done and dusted.
No, you know, I'm not basing my view on the fact that he resigned before finishing his term, because if we want to factor that into any argument, then we will encourage circumvention of the law as it relates to two terms. But I'm saying, if a person served full two terms, or whether it concluded the term or not, and there is a break, maybe one election, then what prevents the person from coming back in terms of this particular, provision? That is why I'm of the view that now, as the Constitutional Court is busy trying to give austerity on Section 47, so must it do the same with regard to Section 88. This piecemeal, you know, changing or repairing of the constitutional provisions, I don't think it is working wonders for us. In fact, the same provisions must be, in my view, must be amended. And take, for example, other countries have got very clear provisions with regard to this particular issue. You talk about Andorra, you know, you talk about Mexico, whether it is conservative terms or cumulative, or basically, not at all after the 10.
Right, stay on the line. Let's ask Professor Pierre de Force what he thinks of that argument. The Constitution is not clear about whether it's consecutive terms or cumulative terms, argues Professor Sibanda. Professor de Force, your thoughts?
You know, constitutional provisions can sometimes be vague. This Section 882, in my view, is not in vague.
I'm going to ask you to just move a little bit around. The line is cutting there, so I just make sure we hear everything you have to say. All right, so you're saying this section of the Constitution is not vague in your reading?
Yes, because what it says is that no person may hold office as president for more than two terms. Now, the draft of the Constitution qualified by inserting the word two consecutive terms. That is a fundamental qualification which the Constitutional Court drafters, a constitutional drafters, did not include. So if it says no person may hold office as president for more than two terms, it means two terms. It doesn't mean two consecutive terms. So unless one adds a word into Section 88.2 that isn't there, I think it will be extremely difficult to convince any court. I think probably impossible to convince any court that what it says is not two terms but two consecutive terms, because that is actually not what the section says.
Professor Sbanda, your response to that?
No, I hear, and good morning, Professor DeFosse. I hear what Prof is saying, but then if we are to agree that this is quite very clear, one will have to read consecutive in order for this argument that I'm making to stand, then we must ask ourselves, do we then it's permissible for a constitutional provision to lack foreseeability and objectivity? Because that is also can be one of the, that is an essential element of a provision, meaning that we have then to read into that. But then, if a provision, it is not in favor of an ordinary citizen, really, can we look at an interpretation that it is not disadvantaging the citizen? And I'm arguing this because a similar provisions are there. Our constitution says we may consider other jurisdictions in order to understand some of our provisions. And as earlier on, I stated that there are clear, you know, constitutional provisions in other countries where it states quite clearly that now consecutive, cumulative, or no term at all, no second term at all. So I beg to differ, you know, with that particular position. Yes, it may be something very difficult to put before the court, but then I cannot see why we can have a foregone conclusion that that word may means shall not. Remember, provisions like this, particularly in the African context, they were made and across the world to stop this presidentialism, where a person wants to become a president really non-stop. But then if, for instance, after 2 years, You are after 2 years, and at that age, you are 27. You are no longer president. Why should you not come after when you are 35? Because at least you are not that kind of a person who clings to power.
Professor DeFosse, is there wiggle room here? What I'm hearing now is that whilst it may on the face of it appear to mean one thing, it is open to interpretation. In other words, oh, I don't know if I understand Professor Sbanda's reasoning. Even Thabo Mbeki could come back and say, yes, those two terms are over, but now make it make sense.
Yes. So I think maybe there's a problem in that the rule that Professor Sbanda quoted about the court being permitted to take into account other jurisdictions, the law of other jurisdictions, only applies to the Bill of Rights, so it's not relevant here. The section does create potentially a kind of anomaly, because it says no person may hold office as president for more than two terms, and a term it ends when you are removed from office or resigns, so when a vacancy occurs. So if there's a hung parliament and somebody is elected president, and then say President Ramaphosa, and then after 2 weeks there's a vote of no confidence and he's removed, he has served his two terms, and even if there's a new coalition agreement, he would not be able to be re-elected president because he would have served his two terms. So that's a kind of interesting anomaly that I only thought about last night when I looked at the section again.
Is there, because we know Jacob Zuma, the former president, is a famed litigant, is there wiggle room here to at least make the case, whether he succeeds or not, but to at least make the case that he could try again?
Well, the president, former president, can of course approach the court. As I said earlier, because the section is so clear, it's because a different interpretation would require adding words to the text that is not there at the moment. It is going to be a bit of a wild goose chase. It's going to be not going to be successful in the end. Whether he will do that for political reasons, of course, another matter.
Professors Pierre DeFosse and Umphemetse Sibanda on that issue. Isn't it absolutely fascinating?